Let's now turn in our Bibles to Luke 2. We've had a brief series, first two sermons on Simeon as he's in the temple at Jerusalem, and now the final one in that series on Anna, as she's in the temple at Jerusalem. And our text is verses 36 to 38 of Luke 2. Let's start our reading at verse 21. And we'll take that to verse 40. Luke 2, starting at verse 21. This is the word of God. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's where we conclude our reading of Holy Scripture. The text is verses 36 through 38, and let's reread that right now. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the text teaches one main thing. And that is, redemption was the heartbeat of Anna's life. Right away, it's good for us to understand then, what is that redemption which was the heartbeat of her life? You read of that redemption in verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms, and he says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Salvation is the broader word, deliverance from sin and deliverance unto God. Redemption is also salvation, but it's a more specific word. When someone is redeemed, that means they are delivered from bondage by the payment of a ransom price. Deliverance from bondage by the payment of a ransom price. That does lead to the question, how much did Anna, living at this stage in history, know about redemption and how that would take place? Well, we don't know for sure what level of knowledge she may have had. We do know this. Anna knew that the greatest problem she had was her sin. Anna knew that her problem was bondage to sin. And she also knew this, that deliverance from this spiritual bondage must be by the payment of a ransom price. She knew that much. But exactly how that would work out, exactly how that would go and how that would be accomplished, Anna did not know that. She couldn't have known that yet. But what Anna did not know about the more minute details of redemption and how exactly that would work, we post-Pentecost believers do understand and know. How is that redemption accomplished? Well, of course, Christ paid that ransom price on the cross. There has to be a shedding of blood, and redemption is made there. Christ went to Calvary for Anna, even though she could not see it in a detailed way yet. And Christ went to Calvary for you and for me and for all of his people. That's redemption. And it's that redemption now which is the very heartbeat of Anna's life. And when I say heartbeat, I mean everything revolved around this. This is the very center of everything she does, of everything she is, this redemption. It's the heartbeat. And the Word of God here, our text, indicates that redemption was the very heartbeat of Anna's life, and it does so in three main ways. The first way in which these verses indicate that redemption was the very center of Anna's life is that she expected that redemption which was to come. She longed or looked for it. The second main way in which these verses teach that redemption was the heartbeat of Anna's life is that she gave thanks for it. And then the third main way that this was the very core of Anna's life, that's shown, was that she witnessed concerning it. She spoke of it to other people. And so that's what we take this morning as the three points of the sermon too, those three main ways in which it's shown that redemption was the heartbeat of Anna's life. Let's consider this under the theme, redemption, heartbeat of Anna's life. First, her expectation of it. Second, her thanksgiving for it. And third, her witnessing to it. This is the core, center, beating heart of it all. This woman needs to be redeemed as the great sinner that she is. And that's indicated by the fact that she expected it, expected that redemption that was to come. Verse 38, and we're going to come to this a little later, not right now, but verse 38 reads this way, "And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So when Anna was in the temple and she came in at a certain time and she actually saw the baby Jesus, she gave thanks for him, and then she went out and she spoke to other people. And there's one main characteristic of those other people to whom she spoke. They looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And that word looked means they expected that redemption. They longed or desired for it. That's what was true of those people that Anna talked to. But by implication, that was also true of Anna. And that's very much what you can say about her in her life. She expected, she looked for this coming redemption. That this aged woman looked for the redemption to come is expressed in her life in a couple of main ways. First, that she expected the coming redemption was expressed in her location. She was at the temple. The temple. Verse 37 informs us of that. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. This was the place Anna wanted to be. God's house. The place where God is worshipped. And the very same building where the bloody sacrifices are brought, and the location where God's people would be found, who would also be talking about and thinking about this redemption which is to come. Well, why did Anna want to be in this location? Why at the temple? Because this God, whose house this is, and who is worshipped, is the very same one who promised that this redemption would be brought. And these bloody sacrifices, blood, so much blood and so many animals, were so many sacrifices pointing to that very redemption which was to come and something of what it would be like. And the people at this temple would be people who were thinking about and looking also for that redemption. That's why Anna wanted to be at the temple. She expected the redemption which was to come. The second main way in which this looking ahead for future redemption was expressed in her life was in not only her location, but in her activity. And this really forms the bulk of the text. And I want you to notice with me all of these different things that Anna is doing and how that shows she is longing for redemption to come. For one thing, we're informed that she was a prophetess. I'm not going to get into all of the arguments here about why it was legitimate for there to be a female prophet in those days, but it's not legitimate for a woman to occupy the threefold office today. We could get into that. We're not going to get sidetracked by that. Just notice the fact that she is a female prophet. That's what a prophetess is. A prophetess, or a prophet, was one to whom the Lord revealed his word, and then that prophet or prophetess would in turn speak that word and teach it to other people. And that's much of what Anna was busy with there in God's house, speaking God's word, revealing that to others. And if you should ask, in her capacity as a prophetess, what was she talking about? What word of God did she bring? Well, you don't have to do much guessing. Redemption! It's coming! God has promised! That's what she talked about. Also in her activity, she served God with fasting. Fasting is not something that we talk about so much today. That's unfortunate. We probably should. Fasting is not one of those things that was done away, let's say, at a certain point in the early New Testament age. But fasting is not only legitimate, but we ought to fast today. Anna fasted, which is to say, she abstained from food. Fasting was not a diet plan. It was not a starving of herself, and it wasn't some outward show of piety so that other people could look at her and say, "Look at Anna, how she can fast." It wasn't about that at all. But fasting was, for certain limited periods of time, setting aside food and the preparation of food, so as, having set that aside, to make room in her life here for spiritual exercises. Think about that. All the time that it would have been for her to prepare meals and to eat meals, and for certain periods each day to set that aside, and now she can have room to look all the more and expect that redemption which is to come. That was the purpose of her fasting. If you look at the scriptural data on fasting, there is something more to it. It's not just making room for spiritual things, but it was a sign of humiliation over sin. And that to Anna was the great concern. I'm a great sinner. And the older she got, the more and more she saw the greatness of her sin. And she fasted now as an outward expression, a kind of sign of her humiliation over her sin. She needs redemption. She expects it, and she expresses it in her fasting. She also served God with prayers. Prayers. The word prayers here is petitionary prayers. That is, children, she asked for things. She made supplication to God. And by now, you really don't have to guess what she was asking for from God. What was she making petitions for? Exactly this. What thou hast promised, Father, send thou forth this redemption for poor sinners like me. That's what she prayed about. All of these things, prophesying and fasting and praying, expressed that she expected that redemption to come. But now with regard to that activity of Anna, very busy lady here in the temple in Jerusalem, I want you to observe a few things with me about that. What fullness with which she gave herself to these activities in the temple. In this connection, the text informs us that she was a widow. Verse 37, she was a widow of about 84 years. Just historically speaking for Anna, when she was pretty young actually, and we'll get to that in a moment, her husband died. We don't know the circumstances behind that, but she wasn't very old at all. And now think about that. She has to live not just for a few years, maybe at the end of her life, but for a long time without a husband. And the difficulties of that, I know that being a widow and a widower today is very difficult as well, but in these days, just financially speaking, and from the point of view of care, it was even harder. So Anna's life was no easy life, and that was for a long time. But when the text says that she was a widow, the point is not to impress upon us how hard her life was, but rather to impress us with what fullness she gave of herself to the service of the Lord. As hard as it was and as prolonged as her widowhood was, she wasn't busy murmuring and complaining and delving into bitterness against the Lord, But she saw this as an opportunity all the more fully to care for the things of the Lord. You understand why that is? To have a husband is going to mean caring for that husband and living with him. And that's, of course, legitimate. That's good and right. Scripture talks about that. But that does take away, to some degree, from spiritual activities. But now that she's a widow, her husband is gone, she all the more fully can care for the things of the Lord, pray, and fast. And Anna seized that opportunity too. This, you might call it this, fullness of service to the Lord in her capacity as a widow showed that she expected that coming redemption. I'd like you to notice also how long she gave herself to these activities. In this connection, we're told that she was a very old woman. Verse 36 and 37. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Virginity, you could understand it this way, is marriageable age. Back in those days, marriageable age was early to mid-teens, let's say. She was with a husband for 7 years from her virginity, which means that she must have been around her early 20s when her husband died. And then, after her husband died, she was a widow for 84 years. So when you put all of those things together, it must have been that Anna, by this point, is over 100 years old. That's a very old woman. She's aged. But again, the point of the text is not to give us merely some interesting biographical details about Anna, but the point of the text is to show in what length, how long she gave herself by God's grace to the service of the Lord. Think about that. She had been doing this, at least in a more focused, concentrated way, for some 84 years. That's a long time to be in the temple, to be praying, to be fasting. And it shows something of with what longing and eagerness she looked for that redemption to come. But I want you to notice, beside the fullness with which she gave herself and the length at which she did so, one more thing, the frequency. The text emphasizes all of these things. In this connection, it tells us, verse 37, this. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There was one place you would always find Anna, children, at church. It's like you go somewhere, and I'm sure you've all experienced this. You go to a certain place, and there's always so-and-so there. And you even remark that to other people. Every time I go here, he's here. He's like a fixture at this place. If you went to the temple at Jerusalem, there would be someone like a fixture there, and it's this aged woman, and people probably talked about it too. Anna, this prophetess, she's always at the temple in Jerusalem. And it's not just occasionally there, but it says she departed not from the temple. Perhaps she lived there or she lived close to there, but the point is, you couldn't keep Anna away from here. And even to the point where it says she served God with fastings and prayers night and day, whether it was the daytime with the hustle and bustle and the busyness and the people all over, or whether it was nighttime and there aren't a lot of people around and it's quiet and people are sleeping, Anna is at church. And she loves it there. You see something, beloved, how it just pops up all over out of these verses. This activity, by God's grace, that expresses how she so desired that coming redemption. Redemption was the heartbeat of her life. Is it yours? There is, of course, the fact that Anna looked ahead. It's coming, and I can't wait for it. But there is a sense in which also for us, there is a coming redemption. I understand the Lord Jesus has already come. And he's gone to the cross and he's accomplished redemption. And we're thankful for that. And we remember that also today. But there is also a sense now from our viewpoint in the New Testament age that there is a coming redemption to which we look and which we expect ardently. And that's when Jesus comes on the last day. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 28 to his disciples. We'll hear about this again on New Year's Day. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is saying, when you see the signs of the coming of Christ all around you, as we do now today, look up, lift up your head, your redemption is drawing nigh, which is Jesus Christ himself when he comes at the last day, which redemption is final and full deliverance from all of our sin. Don't you look to that with a fervency and expect that, long for that which is to come? And when we look for that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ on the last day, that's going to show itself in our lives just like Anna looking for Christ's first coming and redemption showed itself in her life. The application this morning is especially for the older members of the church. Anna was aged, and I'm not saying that we have people here over 100 years old. We don't. But like Anna, there are those here in this congregation that have more years behind them than ahead of them. And the application is especially for you this morning. Looking ahead to the coming of Christ is going to show itself in your life in your diligent attendance at church and its activities. I think sometimes older saints say, or at least they think, it's time for the next generation to step to the plate. I've done my part, so to speak. I've been busy in the church and among the people of God, been very active. And now it's time for me, because of my age, not that I'm so infirm, but it's time for me to step aside. And some of these younger ones will step to the plate now in the church. It wasn't that way for Anna. And that ought not to be our attitude either. She departed not from the temple. And for God's saints that have years more behind them than ahead, now's the time. Maybe even especially now's the time to throw oneself into the life of the church among God's people. And especially now that you see your sin more than you even did in your youth. As you get older, your sin becomes more clear. This place where you hear about redemption, and this place where you can talk among God's people about this Christ, it becomes more precious to you, doesn't it? And for the older saints looking, expecting that future redemption at the last day will express itself in your life, in your talk, in your fasting, in your prayers as well. Something else that older members say, and I think widows and widowers also, the application you understand is for them also, is, I don't understand how I'm useful in the church anymore. I'm sure you've heard that from saints. I sort of feel like a third wheel, a little bit awkward. My husband, my wife has died. I'm getting older, and again, not that I'm infirm, but I just wonder, how does the Lord use me in the church anymore? And the text teaches us that you may very well be in a season of your life in which you have opportunity because of your age and the work is being laid aside a little bit, the wage-earning work, or because you don't have a spouse anymore, the opportunity is even more there to give yourself your time and your energy to the things of the Lord and caring for the things of the Lord. And if you say, how am I useful in the church anymore? This, fasting, especially praying. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Bless thy church, protect thy church. Prayer and speaking to others as prophets in the office of all believer about this Christ, and especially speaking of him to that coming generation. And although I say the application is especially for the older ones, those of you, including myself, in the middle season of life, as well as you children and young people, the application doesn't soar high over your head, but it applies to you too. Though you have no wrinkles on your skin, may it be said of you, the Sabbath is my delight. I want to be here. And if I'm a newly married person, I want to throw myself into the life of the people of God. I want to be with them and talk with them and worship with them and fast and pray. But getting back to Anna, she did look for that coming redemption, and it came. In a sense, the Redeemer came. And for Anna, redemption was the heartbeat of her life that expressed itself in her expectation, but also in her giving thanks for that Redeemer who has now come. That's recorded for us in verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now try to put yourself in Anna's shoes for a moment. And I think it's good, especially on a Christmas morning, to try to get right into the story. She was looking, earnestly expecting this. She was such an old woman. She had been in the temple for how many years? Perhaps looking just for this moment. And remember, too, that she must have been hearing things like Zacharias and Elizabeth and what was going on with John the Baptist. There are some things going on here, and those were not done in a small corner. That was public. And then the shepherds giving public testimony of what they had witnessed, that was not done in a small corner either. That was going everywhere. So she must have been hearing different bits of news, and it's quite possible that Anna thought she would see something or hear something very soon. In that instant, that is, in the providence of God, when there's Joseph and Mary and Simeon, and they're all standing here in the temple, in that instant, Anna comes in. Wonder what she saw. Simeon and Anna, these verses being grouped next to each other, leads you to believe, although we can't say with 100% certainty, that she saw Simeon holding the baby Jesus and perhaps caught the tail end, if not heard the full thing of what Simeon said, including that concluding prophecy about the Christ. Can you imagine, beloved, what a climax this was for this aged prophetess? something she had waited for her whole life. And there he is. And who would have thought a little tiny infant baby being cradled in the arms? That's God's redemption of true Jerusalem, right there. You cannot overstate what a joy that must have been for her. And on this Christmas morning, you see it. You do. With the eye of faith. Just as if you were standing right there in that room in the temple. And just as if you were standing feet away from this little baby. You see it. Eye of faith, which God has given to you. And it's no less a climax and no less a thrill for us. And every time something like this is preached, it ought to be like that. This is the day of days for us because we hear about Him. He has come and He was born for my salvation. For even a sinner like me, what rejoicing there is. For this redemption that had come, Anna gave thanks. That word thanks means to confess in the presence of others. So she had a certain confession of truth, and it was in the presence of Joseph and Mary and Simeon and any others who may have been in that area of the temple. And she did that confession in her capacity, again, as a prophetess, one who speaks God's word. And really, the KJV is not mistaken when it says she gave thanks, because when one makes confession, and she directed that to the Lord, when one makes confession to God about His truth, that is worship, that is giving thanks to Him. Anna confessed before others. She gave thanks for the fact that this was the Redeemer who was to come. We're not told the actual words that she uttered, but no doubt giving thanks to God that what He had promised, now He had fulfilled. God always fulfills His word, and she thanks Him for that. And giving thanks that this little baby, although she can't understand all of the details of it yet, will pay that ransom price, will redeem her. She doesn't know exactly how, but she believes it by faith. And to say that about an infant, don't ever lose that sense of wonder at that. To say that of an infant, that's remarkable. It's only by faith. That's our confession too, isn't it? We confess before others the truth that He has paid the price for us, for me, and we give thanks to God. But it wasn't merely that she was redeemed that she gave thanks, but that she was redeemed. She was. There's some biographical information not quickly to be skipped over, and that is this. She was of the tribe of Aser or Asher. Now you say, well, why? That's important. Asher, if you know some of your history, was one of the northern tribes. Children, you got to look up north on the map. One of the northern tribes, the tribes of Israel, Asher had apostatized and was brought into captivity by Assyria. Here's a woman from Asher. She must be a part of the elect remnant. God always had it as elect remnant in those northern tribes too. And Anna was one of them. God preserved His remnant. And that Anna was a part of that elect remnant, one to whom God gave faith to believe salvation, and one who would be redeemed with the blood of Christ, that's grace. Don't ever read Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and that tribe of Asher without seeing right there jumping out at you, grace! Even one from Asher, and she knew that she was so unworthy of salvation and that she was no different from any others of those around her, no different of herself. She's one of God's own, and that's His grace. This morning, this Christmas morning, that you say, believer, God has given me faith to believe in His salvation. And He has redeemed me with the blood of Christ. And I have something to look forward to. And I'm not terrorized when Christ comes again. That's grace. Pure grace. You're part of that elect remnant. And we give thanks for that this morning. Beating heart. What was it in her life? Redemption. It's indicated by her expectation of it. It's indicated by her giving thanks for it. And that redemption is the heartbeat of her life is indicated, too, by the fact she witnessed to it. She spoke of it to other people. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Right there is another just very beautiful nugget. There were others at this time like Anna. Now, I'm not saying that the people she talked to, that's all God's people that were on earth. Undoubtedly, there were more. But there were some of God's people in the area, and she talked to them. People that were probably like Anna in a lot of ways, and their activities looked like Anna's activities. And it reminds us that God always has His church on earth, always does. He preserves the church. And when you think of how apostasy was so thick at this time in which Anna lived, and how dark things were, and how the people of God were like a plaything in the world between the nations. Things are not well. But God always has His church. He preserves her. And when you look at today, things are not well from a certain point of view. Oft times we're thrown into confusion. Things that we never thought were going to happen, happen. So much trouble. God has His church on earth. And that church is never going to perish. He preserves her, even in the darkest of times, by His almighty grace. And I just call attention to that. There were other Annas in the world at this time. That's a remarkable thing. It is to these people now that Anna spoke of that redemption that had now come. Undoubtedly, she had talked to them before. She knew who these people were. She didn't find out at the first time when Christ was born. She'd been with these people. She loved them. She fellowshipped with them. Her company, the company of God's people, was a delight to her. And that's how it always goes with God's people. To be here and to be in the midst of God's people throughout this world as much as we're able is our delight. We love the fellowship of God's people. Our hearts beat in unison, one truth and one confession. That's part of the delight, isn't it, of being at a Christmas service. This isn't just, well, we have church another day. I get to be here with the fellow saints. That's a delight. So Anna knew who these people were. And in her capacity, again, as a prophetess, she speaks to them of the one who has now come. She looked for Him. And they did too. She now saw him, and she could go out. And I can't think of much more of a gladsome task than that, to go out to all these other people, these fellow believers and sojourners in the earth, and to say, you know, that promise of God, it's fulfilled now. I saw him. It's a Christ child. And he's come to redeem us. And we don't know exactly how that's going to be, but he's come. What a gladsome activity for this aged woman in Israel. Will you not go out today too and do that? To fellow believers here in a few minutes back there? To those saints and fellow pilgrims in your home, speaking continually of him who has come, who has paid the price, and who is coming again. You speak of him, do that. And when he comes a second time, oh, how we shall speak of him when we're all together, the throng of saints in that new creation. We will speak of him continuously, forever and ever, with hearts full of joy. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we have every reason to give thee thanks and praise. We have every reason to open our mouths and from our hearts to proclaim thy goodness and thy great grace and love toward us, of thy redeeming love. Open thou our mouths, Lord. Cause that we would praise thee, speak to others, give a good witness to fellow believers, and give to us, Lord, that joy, the only joy and true happiness that there is, that Jesus Christ was born for our salvation, for our redemption. In his name alone we pray. Amen.